this is probably a highlight of my career on the internet and with As a Man Thinketh, because the person that is so directly responsible for me even being on the internet and being in business is the gentleman that we have tonight. His program, Science of Getting Rich, his Born Rich program, all of his programs, his monthly mentor program that I was a part of, have done so much to inspire me and open up the vistas in my life, open up my imagination, and give me the ability to do some things that I probably never thought that I could do. So we're extremely honored to have him on the call tonight, and I don't want to take any more of his time. I just want to tell him how much we appreciate having him, and for the very first session of You Were Born Rich, the teleseminar, we want to welcome to the call from Toronto, Canada, Mr. Bob Proctor.
Well, thanks very much, Vic, and it's good to be on the call. And I want to congratulate you on the work you're doing. You're helping a lot of people through As a Man Thinketh and on the Internet.
Thanks.
You know, I understand, Vic, that everybody has the action planner from the Born Rich program.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, if you haven't, I'm going to ask you to flip over to page 2. If you haven't, that's okay. You can just follow along with what I'm saying here. You know, I think probably, I was thinking about this tonight, a good place to start is why we called the program Born Rich. First of all, it started off with the book, and then we went from the book to the entire seminar. And I came to the conclusion after 9 years of really studying, where my whole life changed, and it changed like night and day, and I couldn't figure out why I changed, so I decided that somebody had to know, and I started to read books and listen to records and go to seminars, and I realized that I had it in me all the time, and here we are seeking riches, and we're born with them. And when I went to call the book You're Born Rich, everybody said, oh, Bob, don't do it, don't do it. I couldn't get anyone to agree with me. But, you know, I thought, no, I'm going to stick with this. And, you know, at first people say, yeah, I wished I was born rich, you know. And I just smile and say, you know, you were born rich. You're probably just a little short of money. And I think that we look at riches as being the money. And it's not the money at all. The real riches is not the cars or the houses or the material possessions. They're the expression of the riches. The riches really lie within us. And this program was designed to help a person do that. The program came about after many, many years of studying because, you know, on the surface, everything indicated that I was never going to win. I was 26. I thought that was fairly old at the time. I've since changed my attitude towards what's old. But, you know, I was unhappy. I was sick. I was broke. And I couldn't get anything to happen. And then, fortunately, I came across what I would refer to as a mentor, a coach today, and Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and then Earl Nightingale's condensed narration of the book. And one thing led to another, and I went from $4,000 to $175,000 a year, then went over $1 million a year. And keep in mind, no formal education, no business experience. This was a shock to me. It was a shock to everybody that knew me as well. And I thought it was the book or the record, and even the man that was helping me, Ray Stanford, he was trying to help other people too, but they weren't getting it. And so I thought it was the book, but I gave the book to people. It didn't work. I gave them the record. Nothing happened. So I reasoned, someone has to know why I've changed. Now, that was 40 years ago, 42 years ago, and I decided I was going to study and find out, and I have never stopped. Now, it was like putting a mosaic or a like Humpty Dumpty back together again. I was looking for the pieces. I knew they were all there, but I couldn't really find them. And I'd get a little bit here and a little bit there. And this program is the result of that. If you recognize this speaker or that teacher or this book or that program in here, that's because it is in here. This is the composite of an awful lot of very, very good information and some marvelous teaching. And in the first paragraph on page 2, we say this program is based on the premise that you have rich resources lying dormant within you, waiting to be developed. Now, the development of those resources will cause the manifestation of prosperity in your material world. And, you know, as I was looking at this tonight, preparing for this, trying to figure out how do I put a 2.5-day seminar into 30, 35 minutes. And, of course, I haven't figured it out. But what I want to do is hit on some high points here. And, you know, we do have the rich resources within us, and by developing those, it changes what's going on outside. Now, I think everyone that can hear my voice knows that. I believe that anyone that's on this call tonight has heard a record or a CD or a cassette or been to a seminar or read a book. So this isn't a revelation that you have these tremendous resources within. Anyone with any religious conviction understands that. And yet, even although we have that understanding, we spend our days trying to change outside of us. Now, this is a real paradox, and this is something that puzzled me for a long time. Why is it that we're continually trying to change what's going on outside and pointing our finger at a condition, a circumstance, another person when things don't go right, looking outside of us for the cause of our problem and not recognizing that it's inside? It isn't outside. Now, you know, you can look at a condition or a circumstance or maybe a way another person treated you wrong and point to that, and what you're pointing at is valid. They're very valid reasons. And what you're looking at is right. It's not good. It's a negative condition. It's a negative circumstance. It was a bad thing they did. However, if we work on the inside, those things won't matter. Because, you see, the negative condition, circumstance, the bad things that people do to us, they happen to successful people, too. They don't just happen to people that aren't making it happen. In other words, they happen to everybody. So it's really understanding this and working at changing what's going on inside of us and saying, I don't care what you say. I don't care what this condition or circumstance is. I am going to see only the good that I desire. I'm going to work at keeping my mind and body in one vibration. I'm going to keep them in sync. And I'm going to see just what I want, because what you see is what you get. Now, about the third paragraph down, we have intellectual comprehension of this program is not difficult. In a relatively short period of time, you will be prepared to correctly answer a battery of questions about the Born Rich program. Then you could very quickly say, I know. And how often do we hear that? Somebody will say something, oh, I know, with respect to the various topics that we're about to study. However, knowing and doing are poles apart. And I think that is probably one of the most important things that we'll ever grasp. There's a beautiful word that I use frequently. I've written papers on it. I've had it published in magazines. Praxis. P as in Peter. P-R-A-X-I-S. And praxis is the integration of belief with behavior. You know that we'll say, I believe something, and yet our behavior would indicate we don't. Now, here's the real problem. We do believe it intellectually. We believe it on a conscious intellectual level. But on a subconscious level, there's another belief established there. We believe that we have infinite resources at our disposal. Why, then, do we have difficulty with money? Why do we have difficulty building our business? Why do we have difficulty with the resources that we're seeking? It is because we've got a polar opposite belief on a subjective level, and it's the subjective side of our personality that's being manifest in our material world. Now, if you flip over onto page 3, there's 4 points here. You need a clear understanding of where the journey begins. You need checkpoints en route to get you to help you to stay on course. You need a clear understanding of your destination. And then a commitment to successfully complete the journey, regardless of the detours that you might encounter when you're en route. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I think one of the greatest lessons that I ever learned, and again, it took me maybe 9 or 10 years before I came aware of what I had learned. You have to understand where you are, and you have to know where you're going. Well, people say, I know that. But they don't understand where they are. Understanding where you are, a clear understanding of where your journey begins. You see, success is a journey. Where does it begin? What do we have to know? What are our habit patterns? Do we react or do we respond to situations? What time do I start work? What do I study? Do I continually study? Or study something that I do periodically if a seminar comes to town? Do I have a mentor or a coach? These are the things. See, I've had a mentor or coach for 42 years. I have never stopped studying. I was doing a call, Vic, with Hilton Johnson down in Florida, and we were talking about the Born Rich book. And almost everywhere I go, people will say, oh, yes, I've read that. Now, I tell you the difference between them and myself is I have never stopped reading it. I've been reading the same copy since 1963, and I had one for two or three years before that. And I have found it's by continually reading it over and over and over again that it causes me to look at where I am. What are my habit patterns? What kind of an emotional state am I in? How do I handle criticism? How do I handle the negative things that come into my life? What happens if there's a little shortage of money, or maybe the thing isn't going right here or there? You see, those are the questions we have to ask. That tells us where the journey begins. Where am I right now? And then checkpoints that are going to keep us on course. Well, we have to have a clear understanding of our destination. I use as an example on a CD that I just made, I had to go down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to a wedding here this past summer. And I had a few days, so I said to Linda, why don't we drive? You know, I'm getting sick of getting on planes and getting searched four times in the airport. And so, anyway, we decided to drive. She goes over to the AAA, map place, automobile place, and she comes back with a whole armful of maps. And so I started looking at it, because I didn't know where Gatlinburg was. I knew it was in Tennessee, but that's all. So at any rate, I see I have to get to Detroit from Toronto. And then I have to go from Detroit to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati to Lexington, from Lexington to Louisville, from Louisville to Gatlinburg. So you see, when I left Toronto, if I wanted to get to that wedding, I had to focus on Detroit. I didn't have to worry about Cincinnati or Lexington or Louisville. If I didn't get to Detroit, probably I would never get to the wedding. So we have to have these checkpoints. When I got to Detroit, I had to focus on Cincinnati, not Lexington or Louisville, Cincinnati. And if I hadn't got there again, I would have been off course. So we have to know where we are. We have to have a very specific target that we're shooting at. And then we've got to be committed. We've got to make a committed decision that we're going to successfully complete the journey, regardless of the detours that we might encounter en route. Now, how are we going to make sure all that happens? Well, if we go to the bottom paragraph on page 3, we're pointing here, set aside a period of time every day, weekends and holidays included, for the proper use of the Born Rich program. Now, that would mean, if you don't have the Born Rich program, any really great book that you lock into study might be the Born Rich book. It might be As a Man Thinketh. But you're going to study every day, weekends included. You eat every day to nourish your body. So look at the Born Rich program or a personal growth program as healthy nourishment for the mind, because the mind, it is an activity, and the body is the instrument of that activity. Now, this is so super important. Flip over to page 5. Here we're talking about me and money. Now, you might wonder, why did I title it Me and Money? Because most people have got a poor working relationship with money. They'll tell you it's not important. It's bizarre. It's vitally important in the area that it's used. There's nothing that will take its place. Money's only used for two things, and we've got to get it straight. One is to make you comfortable, and the other is to enable you to extend the service that you're under far beyond your own physical presence. Money is absolutely essential. I hear people say, well, I just want to do good. If you want to do good, get rich first. Because I'm going to tell you, the good you can do without money is going to be very limited. So we want to develop a good working relationship with money. And here we point out in the first paragraph, the program was written, the Born Rich program, in the sincere hope that it would lead you to the many discoveries that lie within you. And you discover it through the repetition of prosperous ideas. You know, I have a coaching program, and we're just coming to the end of year one for quite a large group of people. And I'm thinking, you know, a number of these people are going to understand that this should go on for their life, and so they will come into year two. And another group will say, well, I've studied for a year now. That's enough. That's like saying I eat in 2002, so, you know, what the heck, 2003, you know, I think I'll fast. But we wouldn't even consider doing that. Why? Because we're aware that we have to nourish our body. Well, we should nourish our mind. We need wise counsel if we're going to grow. I have always locked into people that knew more than I did in the areas that I want to improve. Now, if you come down on the bold type, we have lack and limitation can only exist when we make room for them in our mind. But prosperity consciousness knows no lack and no limitation. Now, that is a phenomenal thing. See, we're dealing with an infinite source of supply. And you must understand this. Troward put it very well. He said, when you're dealing with infinite, you can never take more than your share. Isn't that beautiful? When you're dealing with infinite, you can never take more than your share. See, a lot of people feel if they want more, that's greedy. I want more of everything in my life because I want to circulate it. I want to keep it moving. Circulation is life itself. So we want to have it come to us and then put it back out. And what we put into the universe is going to dictate what comes out back to us. So basic and yet so misunderstood. Now, flip over. I'm going to ask you first, go right over to page 7. Page 7. Here we're talking about, you're about to learn that there's much more to yourself than meets the eye, and you must comprehend the hidden factor of your personality. If you are to ever develop yourself properly, in truth, you will never see the greatest part of your being because it is non-physical in nature. In fact, you'll soon become aware that you are constantly living simultaneously on three distinct planes of being. You're a spiritual being, you have an intellect, and you live in a physical body. Now, I'm going to ask you to put a circle around that. You are spiritual. You're not an intellect. You have an intellect. It's something that you have. And you live in a physical body. You're not your body. You want to keep repeating yourself, I'm not a body, I live in a body. I'm not a body, I live in a body. You have an intellect. Most people don't even know what their intellectual factors are. At any rate, you are spiritual. Now, I don't care whether you're Hindu, Christian, Jew, Buddhist. It really doesn't make any difference. All religions deal with one God and the omnipresence, all-knowing, all-powerful God. All the knowledge there ever was or ever will be is omnipresent. It's 100% evenly present in all places at the same time. Now, that blows your mind. Your imagination can't even grasp that. That's a lot of power. All the knowledge. Everything you'll ever want to know. See, the way to build the internet, fly airplanes, do all the things we're doing today, it's always been here. It's just that we've become aware of it. Bill Gates became aware. The Wright brothers became aware. Edison became aware. Well, the riches that we're seeking is already here. We just want to become aware. The people that you need to build your organization, they're already here. You just have to become aware of their presence. And you have to get in harmony with the good that you desire. Now, the only way to get into harmony with it is see yourself already with it. If you have a Bible, if you own one, you might go and if you haven't, borrow one. Go and look in Mark 11 and 24. And it tells you whatever you're asking for, believe that you've received it because it's already here. It just hasn't manifest. Now, we're dealing the spiritual side of your personality and the thought realm. There's the non-physical side. The intellectual realm and the ideas, there they are there. The physical, the things and results. So do you see, we live simultaneously on three planes. Now, if we had the time and we were in a seminar setting, I have slides and PowerPoint, or if I could do it on a piece of paper in front of you, and I could show you how those three sides are all hooked together. Because the spiritual side and the physical side, there's no line of demarcation where one stops and the other starts. If you could see in front of you, build a hologram and put 1,000 horizontal lines, just one after that. It's like lined paper. Do you know that all those lines are hooked together? If we let each one of those lines represent a level of vibration or a frequency, each one is hooked to the one above and the one below. See, the non-physical side of you and the physical side is all hooked together. Your intellect taps into the spiritual, the non-physical realm, and builds ideas. And then through the use of the will, which is what you concentrate with, you hold that idea on the screen of your mind. It controls the vibration of the body. It moves you into action, and it also sets up an attractive force. Now, I know that's a big idea, and if we're in a seminar, I could explain a heck of a lot better. But look on page 6, back up a page. Now, that little drawing pulled everything together for me, and I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was living in Chicago. I was working at the Nightingale Cornet Corporation, and I heard about a man, Leland Valvandewal, who was putting on a seminar in Vancouver. I flew out. The second he stood up to speak, I knew that he knew what he was talking about. I made a point of becoming friends with him, and he and I were friends right up until he passed away. He was a phenomenal mentor of mine. He led me to another gentleman, Dr. C. Harry Roeder. And they were the ones that gave me this drawing. Now, this was actually originated, I believe it was, by Dr. Thurman Fleet from San Antonio back in 1934. That's when I arrived on the scene, by the way, so he was making this for my benefit, as well as yours. But if you could let this drawing represent you, let it represent you. Let your head be representative of your mind, and your body, for everything from the neck down, be the body. Now, that's not the way it is. Your mind is in your toe. But you've got to have a picture to deal with. If you let the top half of your mind represent your conscious mind and the bottom half represent your subconscious, your conscious mind, if you build like a little funnel, just draw a funnel flowing into your consciousness and put power in the funnel. Because there's power flowing into your consciousness while I speak. It's your sensory factors that enable you to pick up the sound of my voice, that enable you to see the drawing on the page, that helps you intellectually comprehend the message, the image that I am attempting to transmit to you. There's power flowing into your consciousness. And in your conscious mind, you can choose to think anything you want. If you'll flip ahead to page 12, and you'll see at the top of page 12 are your intellectual factors. Now, keep page 6 beside page 12 if you can. Your intellectual factors are all there. Napoleon Hill said that an educated person is not necessarily a person with an abundance of general or specialized knowledge. An educated person is a person who has so developed the faculties of their mind that they can acquire anything they want or its equivalent without violating the rights of others. Well, here's your intellectual factors. Most people don't even know they've got them. They're sitting in your conscious mind. Now, also sticking out of your conscious mind like little antennae are your sensory factors. You can hear, see, smell, taste, touch. And you see, you have been programmed to live through your senses. That's why we look outside of ourselves for the answer. The intellectual factors deal with the inside. That's where our real power lies. And we want to learn to use these. Reason gives you the ability to choose your thoughts. Your intuition is your intuitive factor. That's what enables you to pick up the vibration or the energy from another person. If you ever meet me anywhere, seminar in the street, just come up and say, what am I like? I'll tell you exactly what you're like. I have trained my intuitive factor to a phenomenal degree. If you ever see me advertise body forms at the seminar, I don't care if you have to fly across the country, get there. Because I could teach you how to read another person's personality in nothing flat. Everything that goes on in the inside shows on the outside. And we do that through the aid of our intuitive factor. That's what picks up vibrations. That's what tells us the other person's in a bad mood, even though they've got a smile on their face. Your intuitive factor is the gift God gave you to pick up and read vibration. Now understand this. The sound of God evolves through the law of vibration. That's an interesting concept. Perception is your point of view. You have the ability to alter your point of view. We get locked into one point of view, the will. That's what gives you the ability to hold one picture onto the screen of our mind to the exclusion of all others. Jeez, I feel so strapped here. I want to explain all this, and I'm looking at a clock. You know, the will, I've got a couple of statues of Napoleon in my home, and I don't think he was a nice guy, by the way. Gina, my assistant, just came back from Paris, and she brought me a letter opener with Napoleon's head on it that she got in the Arc of Triumph. But Napoleon had a phenomenal mind. One of his biographers called him organized victory. Another one said he had immense capacity for sustained concentration. He was quoted himself one time as saying, I see only the objective, the obstacle must give way. Well, the will does for the mind, like what a magnifying glass does for the sun. It takes and marshals the energy and brings it to a white-hot bead. It's what gives you the ability to concentrate. You see, when you get one idea on the screen of your mind, you can shut down all the noise from the outside world that's begging your conscious attention through your senses, through the proper use of the will. When it comes to memory, everybody has a perfect memory. There's no such thing as a bad memory. I remember working down the convention center here. We had Harry Lorraine, and I've worked with Harry on different occasions. He memorized the whole Time magazine flying in from New York, the whole thing. You could ask him anything in it, he'd tell you. You could start reading, stop, he'd keep reading it for you. He met about, I don't know, 1,000 people at the door. He had them stand up and told them all what their name was. There's no such thing as a bad memory. There's only weak memories. And you develop memory through ridiculous association. Then you have your imagination. Napoleon Hill said that that was the most marvelous, miraculous, inconceivably powerful force the world's ever known. Now, let's come back to the conscious mind again. The conscious mind has all of these intellectual factors lodged in there. There's a power flowing into your consciousness. There's your sensory factor that's picking up opinions of others. They're picking up concepts from outside. You have the ability there in your conscious mind to accept or reject everything and anything you see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. And that is what most people don't use. J. Martin Coey wrote a book called Your Greatest Power. And your greatest power is the power of choice. And that comes with reason. Now, your subconscious mind doesn't have that choice. Whatever reaches the subconscious stays there. And through repetition, the subconscious mind gets programmed. It's rather sad. Now, whatever's programmed or whatever's impressed upon the subconscious controls the vibrations and the actions of the body. I want to recommend that you really, you know, there's so much I'd like to tell you about this, and I really feel constrained by time, and I feel that probably what I've said, Vic, has probably brought up a zillion questions in people's minds. So maybe I should back up and turn that back over to you.
You can hear me?
Yeah, who is this?
Yeah, this is Ron from Wisconsin.
Okay, Ron.
First of all, I really appreciate everything you're doing. About before 5 months ago, I never heard of you. And through Vic, I got your first course was As a Man Thinketh, which is excellent.
Thank you.
You talk about the difference between knowing and doing. I've been studying you for about 5 months now, and I'm getting a lot of knowledge, but sometimes I have a hard time putting it into action.
Well, that is because the old conditioning, Ron, is controlling you. See, when you're a baby, if you look on page 12, you'll see how the conscious mind can be set aside, or page 13, I guess it is, page 13. The conscious mind can be set aside, and in fact, when you're born, your conscious faculties have not developed, so your subconscious mind is wide open. And we have been programmed genetically and environmentally. So the programming is trying to take you down one road, and your topics that you're studying are trying to take you down another. If you want to change the programming, work on one or two ideas at a time, Ron. Don't try and change too much at once because you'll lose. It won't work. And the more you study this drawing...
Are you talking about goals or ideas that we're studying here?
Well, again, no. The ideas you're studying, what you want to do is change two behavioral patterns. I was working with Prudential Insurance Company 30 years ago, and we had them make a commitment that they'd be in front of a prospect by 9 a.m., and they would ask everyone to purchase $100,000 worth of insurance. That's the only thing they had to change. Everything else they were doing, they could leave it the same. If they goofed off and played golf, go ahead and do it. But you've got to be in front of somebody before 9, ask everybody you meet to purchase $100,000. Their sales went up by hundreds of millions of dollars in that company. So what I'm suggesting is you just do two new things that are going to move you towards your goal.
Okay.
Two actions, and do them until they become habitual. It's this drawing that you really want to study, Ron. You really want to. We have a program called the Winner's Image, and I'll maybe talk about it a little bit, that explains this drawing probably better than anything I've seen.
Right.
Who has another question?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yep.
You said that once you get something programmed into your subconscious mind, it's there. Is it there forever? Is there any way to reprogram it out of your subconscious mind?
Well, you know, I don't know if you do take it out, but I do know that you can overpower it. I'm not quite sure that it ever disappears without a trace. But I do know that the ideas in your subconscious mind control your behavior. Let me go back to the idea I just mentioned. Stop and think of whatever you're doing at 9 o'clock, because you're probably doing much the same thing every morning at 9. You get out of bed, there's a routine that you go through. Well, that routine is controlled by ideas that are fixed in your subconscious mind. A fixed idea is more commonly referred to as a habit. Now, you can change that routine by planting a new idea in your subconscious mind. You originate it, you write it down, and then you start getting emotionally involved, and you discipline yourself to see yourself doing it. Keep imaging yourself doing it, and keep working at that until the new idea becomes a habit. I don't know if the old idea is gone, but it's not controlling you anymore.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good. What else have we got? You know, Confucius said, it's better to ask the question, look foolish for 5 minutes, than it is not to ask the question and be foolish for the rest of your life.
Well, if no one else is going to jump in, Ron from Wisconsin is going to jump in again.
Yeah, okay, Ron.
You talk about set up checkpoints. How do you determine what kind of checkpoints you should be setting up?
Well, when you have a goal, if you're setting your goal properly, you will not know how to get there. Because goals are to cause you to grow. But you can see yourself there. And as you see yourself moving towards your goal, you're going to see the first or second thing that you must do. And you'll know there's a couple of things that you're going to have to accomplish to move in the direction of your goal. The checkpoints appear to you one and two or three at a time. Does that make sense?
So you're not setting your checkpoints out ahead of time. They're going
to not all the way to the goal. See, if
goal.
You can set, if you can say this is exactly what I have to do to reach the goal's not big enough.
Okay.
It's probably something you think you can do. You got to go after something you want to do.
Right.
If you know how to reach the goal, I think you're going sideways. You got to set a goal that you don't know how to reach. See, it's the growth that's the win. It's not the accomplishment of the goal. It's what you develop in you that is the real winner.
It's the journey.
That's right. Well, it's more than the journey. It's the growth. It's the awareness that you develop. Because, you see, as you move towards, like, let me put it this way. People are not earning $50,000 a year because they want $50,000 a year. They're earning $50,000 a year because they're not aware of how to earn $50,000 a month. Now, if you're earning $50,000 a month and you're aware of how to do it, you're not going to go back to $50,000 a year, are you?
No.
See, it's the awareness that we want. We want to become aware of how to be more effective, how to earn more, how to do more in less time with less effort. We've certainly got the mental capacity to do it. What we have to do is develop it.
Okay.
Who else has a question?
I've heard you do the level A, level B, level C goals.
Okay, yeah. If everybody would take a sheet of paper and towards the center at the bottom put A, around the center about halfway up put B, and go right up to the top at the center and put C. Now, to the right of the A, put your present results. To the right of A, write the word present results. To the left of A, write the word no, K-N-O-W. You know how to set and reach A-type goals because you've already done it. A-type goals are when people set goals to do things that they already know how to do. And the best example of that, I've been using it for years, a young guy in a seminar asked me if I talked to him about his goal. And I said, what's your goal? He said he wanted a new Pontiac. And I said, well, that's a good goal. I've had Pontiacs. They're nice cars. And I said, what are you driving now? He said, a Pontiac. And I said, how old is it? And he says, it's 4 years old. Well, I said, how long have you had it? He said, 4 years. And I said, then that's not a good goal. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get a new Pontiac, but you've known for 4 years how to get a new Pontiac. And people have a tendency, because they know they should have a goal, they set goals that they already know how to reach. There's no growth in that. Now go up to the B-type goal. And to the right of it, put the word think. Okay? The B-type goal is the one that you think you can do. And so you start thinking about it. Now you're going to leave the A level. And you're going to go for a B-type goal. I think I could do this. I think I could. And so you really stretch yourself and you make a plan. To the left of the B, put the word plan. Okay? Plan. Now, we know that you've got to have a plan if you're going to have a goal. I mean, we've heard that all the time. Now, we've got a couple of problems here. First of all, you're not going to get any support from the people that you've been hanging around with because they're all on the A level. They're not bad people, but we have a tendency to be attracted to and to attract to us people that are very much the same as us. And when we go to leave that group to move up to a higher level, they're not going to support us. If you ask them, do they want you to win, they'll say yes. If you gave them a polygraph, a lie detector, and said, do you really want Ron to win, they'd say, yeah, I really do. but they're not going to support you. Do you know why? They don't want you to leave. See, people don't resist change. People resist being changed, and they're going to have to adapt to your absence, and they don't want to do that. So you're not going to get any support from your cronies on your A-level. And get this, there's no inspiration on B-type goals. None. And here you are, a goal that you think you can do. You've got a plan. You even went and bought software. You got a business plan. You go and get a business plan holder, that, and you get it all printed out in color graphs and pie charts, and God, you're so proud of this. But in pretty soon, the goal loses its appeal. It's got no zip. You know why? There's no inspiration in it. Now, if you go to the C-type goal, go right up to C. On the right-hand side, put you want. On the left-hand side of the C, put the word fantasy. Now ask yourself this. What do you really want? What do you really want to do with your business? Where do you really want to live? What kind of an income do you really want? Not what you think you can get, not what you know how to get. What do you really want? And you see, if you're going to deal with wants, you're going to deal with fantasy. Now, do you know that fantasy is where all achievement begins? Edison fantasized. The Wright brothers fantasized. Everybody that's ever done anything has always fantasized. And you turn the fantasy into a theory. And by concentrating on it, you turn the theory into a fact, and you get what you want. If your goals don't fall into the C category, they probably aren't going to last long. They're not going to do you much good, and you're going to be mostly frustrated. You want to set goals to go after something really big, something hair-raising, something that just winds your stem to no end. And that's the C-type goal. It's what do you really want?
Fantastic, Bob. Thanks. And I'm very glad that everyone had the opportunity to hear that. It was very eye-opening to me when I first heard you do that in Phoenix a year ago. So that was great teaching there. Bob, what kind of assignment should we do this week, homework or whatever, should we be working on? You're talking about every day going out and doing some type of personal growth, personal development, working in some kind of program. So this is the program we're working on this month. What should we do this week?
I would like everyone to ask themselves to write their goal down. Write their goal on a sheet of paper. And then ask themselves, what are two things that I can do, and I don't mean study. I don't mean sit and read a book. I mean these are action. Get out and really get in the trenches and make it happen. What are two things I can do? Now, if you're in selling, being in front of a prospect before 9, you say, well, I prospect on the phone. Well, have a breakfast appointment anyway. There's nothing like personal contact. It's the key to success. Have two things that you can do. Be in front of somebody before 9, ask them to buy. Now, there's a number of different things that you can do, but what are two action steps that are really going to move me in the direction of my goal? I want you to take page 6 and page 8, and I'm going to ask you to sit and read those and see yourself as the stick person here. Visualize your conscious mind and ask yourself, what am I thinking about most of the time? Begin to monitor your thoughts. Look at your subconscious, read it, and then watch your behavior, and you'll start to see how the subconscious is programmed. Read the part on page 8 about the body and start to grasp the idea that your body is really an instrument of your mind, and watch how your body behaves. This is so important that we get this. But write your goal on a sheet of paper. Ask yourself, what are two things, two action steps that are going to move me in the direction of the goal? And then read page 6 and page 8. Carry them around with you. Print it out. Carry them around with you. Read it a number of times every day. If you're sitting down with somebody else, take this little drawing and say, I want you to brainstorm this with me. Look at it this way. And let the drawing on page 6 represent you. When I look at this drawing, I see myself. When I think of myself, I see the drawing. That's exactly the way I've got it. If I looked at you, I'd have an imaginary line, horizontal line, going right through the center of your head, and I'd see the top half of your conscious mind, and I know I've got to get your conscious attention if I'm ever going to get you to move on an idea. I'd see the bottom half of your mind as your emotional or your subconscious mind, and I know I've got to get the ideas into your emotional mind before I cause you to act. Now, I would begin to watch your behavior, to watch and find out what's going on in your mind. And I'd be super sensitive to the vibrations I can pick up. Read those two pages, 6 and 8, a number of times every day.
Now, I'm going to open it back up for a few more questions before we go.
This is Jan Payne in Denver.
Go ahead.
Hey, Bob. One of the things that I would love you to talk about real quickly is your definition of success as being the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Because I love the way you talk about that.
Well, it's such a beautiful definition. Earl Nightingale searched for 17 and a half years to come up with that definition. He came up with it in 1951. He passed away in 1989, never changed a word in it. I began studying it in 1961. I have never changed a word. That success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. In other words, we're progressively moving towards. We're growing. Progression isn't go ahead and level out. It's continually moving in an upward direction of a worthy ideal. And an ideal, as a man thinketh, explains to us, is an idea, or James Allen did, an idea that we have fallen in love with. Love is resonance. Love is when the idea is in your conscious, your subconscious, and your body. Your whole being is locked into it. So the worthy ideal, and it's not are we are worthy of it, it's is it worthy of us? And that's what we want to ask ourselves. Because, you see, we're trading our life for whatever it is we're going after. So we want to make doubly sure that the goals we're setting are goals that are worthy of us. It's the progressive realization. In other words, we're going to become more and more aware of the manifestation of our dream. A dream that's worthy of trading our life for.
Thank you. I love it.
Good. Who else have we got?
I have a question.
Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Craig.
Yes, Craig.
Craig in California.
Yes.
Yeah. I like what I'm hearing. I love what I'm hearing. Going back to the A, B, and C.
Yes.
I wanted to give you a practical example.
Okay.
For myself, so that you can tell me, is it A, is it B, or is
okay.
it C, so that I can understand it. Not what I do for a living, but what my love is and what I have done for a living is music.
Okay.
I stopped doing it a long time ago,
uh-huh.
And I still practice it, but what I've wanted to do is record myself and make basically a demo or something that is even a little bit better than a demo.
Yeah.
I kind of know how to go about it. I think it's a plan B type of thing, but for me, if it was something that was realized and was done, it would just, even though it would maybe be an A or B level, it would just be something that would just really spur me on to do other things.
Well, first of all, it is just a B level, Greg. It definitely is a B level because with very little effort, you could probably get on the phone in an hour or two and figure out where you could go and record in the studio and you could get the backup or whatever you needed. So that is definitely a B-type goal. It's a matter of making a decision to do that. A C-type goal would be to have a hit record, have a hit on your hands. Now, if you really love it, you probably do very well at it because we only love the things that we do well, and we only do well the things that we love. I would recommend, first of all, life is very short. You don't want to go to the grave with the music still in you, literally. You want to set a goal of having a hit record.
Yeah, most definitely I do. I most definitely do.
Well,
yeah.
You, I'll tell you what to do. Contact Kim or Candy at either of those numbers. Did you write them down?
Yes, I did.
Okay, write it down and give them your number, and I'll call you.
Great. Sounds wonderful. I will certainly do that. Thank
okay.
you.
See, the C-type goal would be the hit record. That's a fantasy. That's probably what you really want. You want to hear it on every radio station and on every TV station. Who else got a question?
And Bob, I think you've said when you talked about those kind of goals that those are goals that can actually scare you.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if your goal doesn't excite and scare you at the same time, it's probably not a Z goal, and it isn't any good.
Don't be
You should only have C-type goals. They should excite and scare you at the same time. They excite you because it's what you want. They scare you because they're not in harmony with the old conditioning. But, hell, you want to change that old conditioning anyway.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
You know, Bob, we've been kind of taught, though, that you have like a 50-50 chance to achieve those goals, that you don't want to set them too high.
Yeah, I know. Take a look at the people that gave you those ideas. What did they do? You see, that's what almost everybody says. I don't want to do what almost everybody says. I want to do something that is absolutely phenomenal with my life. It's very short. I have a desire to build a company all over the world, and that's what I'm doing. I just come back from Asia. We're in England. We're in Australia, New Zealand, all over North America. I want to wake the whole world up.
How do you sell that to your old conditioning?
You just keep repeating it to yourself. I'm so happy and grateful now that I have a hit CD on my hands. I am so happy and grateful. And just keep saying it over and over and over again. Look at Kerry. What's his name? Kerry. He carried a check around for $10 million. He comes from about 40 miles from here.
Okay.
Good. Any others?
Yeah, Bob?
Yes.
One more question, gang. Who's got a question?
There's a nice young lady there has a question.
This is Wendy in Oregon.
Yes, Wendy.
And I just finished last night the Science of Getting Rich. And chapter one, kind of the end of chapter one takes off on, and this really hit me because I have problems dreaming big. And
Wait a minute. I want you to say, I'm so happy and grateful now that I only entertain big dreams. Come on, say that.
Okay, I'm so happy and grateful that I only entertain big dreams.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
But the quote from Steve Bow,
yes,
on there on God's gift to you is more talent.
Talent and ability than you'll ever hope to use in one lifetime. Your gift to God is to develop as much of that talent and ability as you can in this lifetime.
Yes.
Right. You like it?
I loved it.
Keep repeating it. Only entertain big dreams. Isn't that a wonderful way to live?
Yes.
Do you know that's a choice?
Yes.
You make that your choice from this moment on. And you be so thankful that you're on this call and you've made a decision. From now on, you're thankful and grateful that you only entertain great dreams. Is that a good idea?
It's excellent.
And think of this. It doesn't matter how many or what's against you. One person with God's a majority. You've got to win.
Fantastic.
I love it.
I want to thank Bob for giving us this program, giving the world to it. I want to help him spread it around the world. And, guys, we've got three more exciting weeks coming up. Be the same time, same channel next week. Bob's giving you an assignment. I encourage you to go out and do it. And Bob asks you now if you got some closing words to send us home with.
Yeah, I want everybody to, when they wake up in the morning, Vic, to really give thanks for the fact that they woke up, that they're alive and they're aware that they're alive. And then just think of how you can do good for somebody else today. And if you have the Science of Getting Rich, read chapter 14, because the last words in chapter 14 are those of Golden Rule Jones. He says, what I want for me, I want for everybody. And chapter 14 is leave everyone with the impression of increase. Make them better off because you touched their life today. You can turn that into a habit. And remember, God's good all the time. Thank you, Vic.